Blog Talk Radio.
Miss Donna B, one of the best voiceover specialists in the known universe, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, we're so glad that you joined us today. Hey, you're going to hear this again, the number 347-843-4559. We want you to call in from all over the planet, ladies and gentlemen, be a part of Alfred and Donna and Miss Donna B's network today, ladies and gentlemen, on the Max Mobile Apps Global Network. Hey, the number again, 347-843-4559. Hey, just a little slower, 347-843-4559. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, also too on the Twitter, we want you to follow us and send out the Twitter account, ladies and gentlemen, for Max Mobile Pro. That's Max Mobile Pro on our Twitter account. And for the beautiful Miss Donna B, go Ms. M-I-Z-Z Donna B. And the B is for bold and beautiful, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, Ms. Donna B on Twitter and on Twitter account for the Max Mobile Pro, ladies and gentlemen, on the network. Hey, that number again, ladies and gentlemen, before we bring them on, 347-843-4559. And they're somewhere in the known universe, and we're not really sure because I think they have spaceships now because they are moving at the speed of light across the world to bring you the best radio program on the planet. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Mr. Alpha Fields, Ms. Donna B at the Max Mobile Apps Radio Network. See ya.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another segment of the Max Mobile Apps Worldwide Radio Network. This is your host. This is Alfred Fields, along with my beautiful co-host, Miss Donna B. Miss Donna B, what's happening with you, girl?
Hey, I am doing fine. I'm doing fine today. I'm enjoying the weather. It's gorgeous here right now. Sun is shining. It's the right temperature. November is great.
November is a great month.
And you know, I was born in the month of November, so, you know, great people came about in the month of November. My mom knew what she was doing.
Yeah, 9 months ago. Anyway, yes, the weather is beautiful here in the Tampa Bay area. Is that where you are? You didn't even say where you were. You just said the weather was great. Are you in Tampa Bay, Ms. Donna B?
I am in Tampa Bay.
Well, the weather is gorgeous. It is sunny. The temperature is like in the low 70s. Humidity is low. Beautiful, beautiful day. It is. And I love the winters down here, and along with everybody else coming down here from Florida. But yeah, we're gonna continue where we left off last week. We are definitely having a party here. We are playing the funk music hits of the 70s and the 80s. And I'm telling you right now, we'll get into the middle of the show, and then Miss Donna B, we'll have you come in and do, you know what, maybe we should do that first, because I don't want to, you know, we'll break it up and try to keep people inspired. And I love the inspiration of the of your words of inspiration. I love that. So you know what, if you don't mind, we're going to go ahead and start that out. But before we do that, I want to go ahead and repeat what our executive producer, Mr. Kevin Vaughn, was saying. We want everyone to tune into the show. Share this with your friends. Put it on your Twitter. You can text it. Our phone number here is 347-843-4559. Once again, area code 347-843-4559. Inform everyone to follow us. Continue to follow us. We got about 11,000, almost 12,000 listeners, followers on Twitter, and we need to get that in. We need to increase that. And you can follow us at Max Mobile Pro, and you can also follow Miss Donna B herself personally at Ms. Donna B. That's M-I-Z-Z Donna B. Post your comments and your questions. If you got any suggestions, please give us a holler. Let us know what's happening, what you're thinking. You know, let us know how this is affecting your day. And you can also follow us on Instagram at Max Mobile Apps, and we can view pictures of our past celebrity guests. Today, we are not having a celebrity guest today. Today, we are just going to have some fun, and we're going to party. Like I said, like it's 19. You know, I'm going to go back to 1976, 77. Those were some partying years back then. And like I said, we're going to be doing the funk music hits part two. And before I get started, we're going to do a quick shout out to Mr. David Webb. He's the CEO and founder of the Funk Music Hall of Fame and Exhibition Center in Dayton, Ohio. And also a quick shout out to Mr. Karate Mac. He is the celebrity bodyguards to the stars. You know what, Miss Donna B? I didn't do this last week, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to actually let you go ahead and kick this off with one of your favorite tracks. Why don't you go ahead and kick off this show today with one of your one of the tracks, so we can go ahead and get this party started. Let's get something to everybody get their blood boiled. Let's get their blood warmed. Let's get everybody started.
One of the tracks. Let's see. Do we have like a George Clinton?
We got it. You know what you want? Go ahead and just name the track that you like to put out there. You know what we got?
Knee Deep. It's called Knee Deep. Actually, I was looking at his pictures, you know, the other day, and I really love his style. He's just so creative, you know, with the hair and everything. And I know I picked him last week, but I just love the funk in him. He's just so creative in his fashion as well as his music.
Well, George is the granddaddy of funk music. Let's go ahead and kick this thing off with Knee Deep. Parliament Funkadelic.
Oh, the beat, yeah. Boy, was it neat, yeah. Not just me, deep, she was so deep, deep when she did the freak with me. Never missing a beat, yeah. Boy, was it neat, yeah.
The girl's a freak. Girl never misses a beat, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It didn't twerk, no.
It wasn't fucking no more.
Saturday party started.
Is that creative
Harlem
or what?
Funkadelic. So, Miss Donna B, tell us what's happening with you this week. What you been up to?
Well, I've been working really, I think really, really hard. That's the number one thing. You know, my nephew called me, and he told me that he played a team called Madison in Houston, Texas, on Thursday. They played on Thursday, which was kind of interesting. They usually play on Fridays. But I asked him, well, did you guys win? And he said, yes, 149-6. And I think he scored a couple of touchdowns. So I was really excited. And apparently, let me see. I did check. I did go online and check out, you know, because I couldn't be there. But I did go out and check to see, you know, how they were scoring. And apparently in the first quarter, they scored 28 points in the first quarter. So they're really aggressive, Manville. Yeah, they're really aggressive. 28 points in the first quarter to zero.
I've been going back listening to, when I go back and listen to the, you know, the times that you kept mentioning about these games, man, they were like slaughters, man.
It's like.
That team needs to be put up in another, they need to be put in another division, man, because they're just killing everybody.
Right. The second quarter, they dominated also 14-0. And then in the third quarter, it was they scored only 7 points. So, you know, Madison were really trying to hold it down. And then in the fourth quarter, they scored like 6 points. And the final score was like 49-6. So, so they kind of like sorted them. Apparently there was, 369 total yards that Manville ran. So they're doing really well. They just, I think when they're obviously going to playoffs. So, you know, I think by the time they get to playoffs, they will really meet their match. And all of this kind of showing off that they're doing right now, or confidence, overconfidence that they got right now, you know, there's some boys out there that are really going to try and shut them down. So I'd be really interested to see, you know, where are they going to meet their match? At what point are they going to meet their match? It's going to be very interesting.
We'll see. We'll see during the playoffs. That's what the playoffs is for. We'll see when they get to the playoffs if they still outscoring their components the way they are. Like 4-1, and we'll continue. And the way they're going, they should be winning state, you know, with that. If they don't win state, they should be at least in second place in the state, you know, with the things are going. But congratulations. Why don't you mention your nephew's name? You just said your nephew to mention his name. Go ahead and give a quick shout out to him so we can go ahead and keep this moving.
Okay. Quick shout out to Terrence Norman. Terrence Norman. Quick shout out.
There you go, Terrence. We're going to go ahead and move on with this party we got going on this Saturday afternoon. And actually, what we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and play one of my old bands. Well, actually, one of my old colleagues. This is actually the first, not my first. My first actually professional band that I played in was called Chocolate City. And and we actually did a song called Chocolate Milk back then in the 70s. But this was my actually first national group that I started off with under the CBS Epic label. So let's go ahead and kick this off with Play That Funky Music by the group Wild Cherry. Let's go ahead and just keep this thing moving. Kevin, we should have that loaded in there. Wild Cherry, Play That Funky Music.
My next guests have one of the hottest records in the country. Play That Funky Music. Please welcome from Steubenville, Ohio, Wild Cherry. Yeah.
Was Play That Funky Music by Wild Cherry. And Miss Donna B, let's go ahead and keep this party moving. What's you going
to
be your next track?
I wanted to ask you a quick question. What was mm-hmm. it like for you playing guitar? It wasn't bass, was it?
Oh, I played bass.
Oh, did you? What mm-hmm. was that like playing back then when you were like really young and in front of like a crowd of people that really enjoyed, you know, the music that band played? Tell us how you felt.
Actually, that's a high. It's a high that you cannot really describe. You know how some people have, you know, they get a high in smoking or taking pills and drugs like that. Well, you know, back then, you know, when you're performing in front of a large crowd, and matter of fact, interesting question, because California Jam was the largest crowd that I've ever performed in front of. And that was pretty intimidating, to be honest with you. It's one of those kind of things where you get butterflies in your stomach. Actually, when you first, you know, when you're first presented and you look at the crowd and you can't see nothing but people, you know, when it's like an endless, you get butterflies in your stomach. But then it's the guys that you're with, they have a way of, it's your buddies. They have a way of being able to calm, you know, to calm you down, you know, because I was the youngest too. I was the youngest in the group. I was only 17 at that time. And it's invigorating. It really is. It's just a natural high. And then when you get started, when the drums kick in and you first get started with the first bar, then you kind of relax. And what happens, you fall into a groove. And so when you fall into the groove, then it just becomes more like a party. You don't think about the butterflies. You don't think about the nervousness. You actually just, you know, you're falling into it. Then you get this rush where you want to entertain. So now you start to move in, your body's getting loose, and you start. And then what you do is, you know, just a secret. Most entertainers will tell you this. One of the things that they teach you, they train you when you're performing in front of and stay in front of a large amount of people, is you find a spot that you focus on.
I was just going to ask you that. I was just going to ask you if you focus on a particular individual that really seems like they're really enjoying what you're doing, or do you kind of like look towards the back at no one, you know?
No, it's kind of like, you know, in the beginning, when it's a lot of people, you don't really kind of focus on just an individual. I can get kind of freaky, you know, you just look at that one person. But basically what you do, you just look at, you find a spot that's in the towards the back of the crowd. And a lot of times when you go to a concert, especially an outdoors concert or a live concert, your audio people, your sound people, they're kind of like halfway there, and sometimes you kind of focus on them. So it just depends on where you are. It depends on the caliber of the crowd. But that you know, it's an amazing feeling. That's all I can tell you. It's a natural high. It's an amazing feeling, and your adrenaline. It's adrenaline rush. That's exactly what it is. It's like, it's almost like going. Some people like to go take roller coaster rides. You know, and when you get on that roller coaster ride and you're at the very top, when you know that you're getting ready to drop, that anticipation, Well, there's adrenaline rush when you know that you're getting ready to drop, and it's kind of a rush like that. But it's a good time. As long as it turns into a party, it's a good thing. The worst part of it is when I remember a couple of times where I actually had somebody on the side. It was a crazy fan. They turned around and took my plug out. They took my plug out, hit
my
plug.
God.
And that wasn't fun. But the thing about it, they didn't know it. The sound people and security people, they saw it. And so I just kept playing. I just kept playing as if nothing even happened and nobody really even caught it, you know. But that's something that is not cool.
Why would they even do that? I mean,
well, you know, you got to understand, we were playing and, you know, Wild Cherry was actually a pop group, a pop funk group. And so we had a very mixed crowd. Our crowd was not just an all urban crowd. We had a very, very mixed crowd, and a lot of people got drunk. A lot of people get high, but you know, it is what it is. It's just a party. We had a good time. We were on tour with Graham Central Station. We toured with AWB, so KC and the Sunshine Band. So it was a good time. It was a really good time. It was a very exciting part of my life, and I'm thankful to have experienced that, and that's why you and I are doing this Max Mobile Apps Radio Network, because this is our way of giving back to a lot of these old school artists and let them know that we appreciate them and we appreciate their music. We want to keep their music alive and keep it moving. So that's the main reason why I'm doing this. Is my way of kind of giving back, you know, to all the people that were supportive of us, and we're supporting them as well too. So thank you for that question.
Oh, no problem. But I just want to say that, you know, these groups, they're just really talented, because they funk music. I noticed they play all the different kind of instruments. They include all of them, brass, the trumpets, the horns, you know, guitars and everything. I mean, it's almost like a small orchestra, so to speak, you know, which I really love hearing all those different sounds and everything. But, you know, I remember asking you last week about, oh, you know, what's your interpretation of funk? And you know, I was thinking, you know, when I listen to funk music, I'm kind of like, bass always dominates, you know, as opposed to, you know, like in a rock and roll type band, you'll just hear the, what type of guitar is it? I don't know what kind of guitar it is, but, you know, you'll just hear like a regular guitar playing that, you know, sound, that main sound, they kind of dominate. But in funk, the bass guitar like dominates.
Well, it's just like every genre. Every genre has its own specialty sound, along with the certain instruments that create that sound. Like, for example, you know, when you listen to a country music, you're going to listen to slide guitar. You know, when you listen to a violin slide guitar, you know more than likely that's going to be country music. You listen to rock music, you're going to be listening to. Even the styles are different. You're going to be hearing this distorted guitar, which has a lot of sustain on it. And that's how you know that you got rock, and it's the chords that you play. And as you well know, that, you know, being a musician yourself, the chords that you play is going to have a lot to do with the genre that you're using. And then you got and I listen to everything. You know, growing up listening to music, I listened to everything. I was listening to Segovia, which is classical music. I grew up listening to that. Fusion, listened to jazz. I grew up with a huge jazz background. I listened to, classical. Spanish guitar was something that I was really intrigued by at a very, very young age. And so one of the things, when you listen to a lot of music, especially in music from Africa, you know, if you go back and that is our roots. When you go back and listen to music that originated in Africa, which was a lot of the drums and percussion, yeah. That is where we get our feeling. This is where we get our grooves from. You know, when we talk about funk music, a lot of that stuff really derived all the way back from Africa with the drums, because the tribes, you know, back in, you know, generations ago, that's how they used to communicate with each other, from one village to another. And so what they used to do, they used to turn around and play certain certain beats that actually communicate from one village to another village. So that was their way of, you know, communicating. And so that's where we get a lot of these rhythmic, you know, we get these this rhythmic, and that's why we're such a rhythmic culture. Cultures like the Latino, you know, Latino culture, African-American culture, we get a lot of rhythmic sounds from those drums. And so that's where everything starts from. And then once you start getting that beat and that groove, then you start layering it, because music is nothing but layers. It's just layers. It's a recipe with layers of sounds. And that's what makes it so, that's what makes it so interesting. And those sounds affect our moods. That's why we love music so much, because every sound that we hear has a certain pitch, and that pitch actually affects the vibrations in our body. Believe it or not, there's actually a science behind music, that how it affects. And that's why to this day, when we hear certain sounds, it gives us certain memories. When we hear certain sounds, it gives us certain feelings. Yeah. And for example, you know, Miss Donna B, you and I were talking about this. When we listen to Western movies, when we're viewing Western movies, you listen to the orchestra, which I find very funny. I find that kind of interesting because, you know, how much orchestra music was there back, you know, in the 1700s? You know,
when
you got what Western. Well, you know, but you know, they use Western. You know, when you listen to Western music, they play a lot of orchestra. You can't really have, you know, Western music without having an orchestra back there. They play a lot of orchestra. And then same thing with drama. And so when you got like a scary movie, you get a lot of that drama too. You get a lot of the horns, you get a lot of the strings, you know. So it's very interesting on how certain sounds put us in certain moods.
They do, don't they? You know, I do spend a lot of time. Actually, since I've been working, doing voiceover, I listen a lot to background music. You know, what is it that sets the tone? What is it, as you were saying, with the Westerns, when the music kind of like gets loud and forceful and so forth, there's probably like you know, a chase going on the horses, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, one group kind of running after, you know, jogging, not jogging, galloping, you know, trying to reach whoever they're supposed to reach, who they're trying to shoot, you know, with their guns and so forth, you know, this that whole effect, that, you know, what is the tone, you know, to set the scene. So it's very interesting how they do that. It's very, very interesting to me. So
it is.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing.
Well, here's we're going to show you an example right now. We're going to show exactly what this sound is, how and how this is going to affect our listeners right now. Kevin, let's go ahead and get that Earth, Wind, and we used to call it Earth, Wind, and Brass, but let's call it Earth, Wind, and Fire. We're going to play this jam, the song that they call Mighty Mighty. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's going to put you in a different mood.
Yeah.
You know what, Miss Donna B?
Yes.
Earth, Wind, and Fire is one of the tightest groups of all time. Talking about some tight musicianship.
Oof.
Oh, those boys, yes. Those boys are deadly.
I was going to ask you, have you ever seen them live? Because I missed out on seeing them live. I've completely like missed them, and I've heard they've been putting on a show since time. You know.
Oh my God! They Earth, Wind, and Fire is one of those groups that were, you know, and God bless Maurice White, who started the group, and. Just another great artist that we lost. But I'm going to tell you something. He was a genius. He was ahead of his time. He was way ahead of his time. When I first time, and yes, to answer your question, yes, I did see them live. And the first time I saw them live, that is when they had a show where they literally had the drummer. And they had two drums. They had two separate drummers. And the drummer was actually suspended in the air, probably a good 20 feet, 25 feet in the air, maybe a little higher. And the whole kit was rotating. He was rotating clockwise, strapped into his seat while still playing.
Wow.
Rotating at 360? Yeah, 360 degrees, rotating and still playing. I have never seen anything like that in my life. And I was, this is early. This is like back in 70, 77, 78. And I remember walking into an auditorium to their show. And when they first appeared, they were on the stage and you were right there in front of them looking at them. And the next thing you know, you see a flash of light. And, you know, back in those days, they used to use a lot of strobe lights.
And what type of lights?
Strobe lights.
Oh, okay.
Strobe. Yeah, they're very, you know, flickering lights.
Oh, okay.
And they flick, strobe lights will flicker very, very quickly. And so what happens is it alters your vision where you can see something and it looks like it's moving in time. And but what they did this explosion, and next thing you know, they were gone. Just like that. It was an explosion. You're looking at them, and in the next second, they're gone. And then they literally appeared behind us. They came in through the doors behind us, walking down the aisles, playing their instruments. I mean, they were so ahead of their time. It was really magical. Earth, Wind, and Fire was a magical group. And just like you were saying, I think we were making a comment about the musicianship. Back then, musicians were musicians. They had to play. They played instruments. They weren't sampling. They were not, spinning records. They were playing real live instruments. And I think that's why, to this day, a lot of that music has been able to transcend for four generations, because of the fact that, you know, when you can have a sound and you still playing, listening to that sound 40 years later, that you're doing something great. You're doing something really, really good. So yeah, it was a fantastic show. It's a shame that you didn't get a chance to see them. But the nice thing about it, you should be able to maybe go online, and hopefully that, you know, maybe it'll go maybe see a concert of Earth, Wind, and Fire. Great, you know, thank God for digital technology. But yeah, that is one show you would never, ever, ever forget.
Because yeah, they're still touring, right? They're still touring, right?
Well, it's just a couple of them. Not as the entire group. I think Al McKay, I know the guitar player, and I know Verdeen, the bass player,
and also,
I'm trying to think of the lead singer. I'm trying to think of his name. But yeah, he did a solo project as well. But yeah, they're still performing. I think there's only like four of the originals. If I'm not mistaken, I think there's about four of the originals that are still performing. Awesome, awesome, awesome group. Anyway, we are going to change a little bit. And matter of fact, we're going to go play another one of your favorite groups, and one of my favorite groups as well. And this is a song that I don't think a lot of people are familiar with. This is called Funkin' Town. Funkin' Town is a track from the funk group Slave out of Ohio. So let's go ahead and change it up a little bit, Kevin. And I want you to hear some of the influence. So listen to this song, and you hear some of the influence of the Parliament Funkadelic when we hear Funkin' Town by Slave. There's that bass, Miss Donovan.
I know.
The funk has been known to cure all illnesses. Get ready.
Like all names have been changed.
Give yourself a chance. Let the funk create the new dance.
Okay. We're dancing.
Bye.
Alfred. It never gets old. I'm telling you.
It doesn't. You know something? Those were kids. When they performed that track there, they were literally kids. They were under the age of 18 when
Isn't
they performed that song. Zach was only like 14, 15 years old when he was a guitar player, and I'm the bass player. They were all under 18 years old.
That's crazy. Yeah. I love that song for me was, you know, it's kind of like at the top of my list, even like, you know, with all the music that I've heard, you know, even like today, it's still, you know, at the top of my list. There are a few others that are also at the top of my list. But as a whole, I really love that Slave sound, that Steve Arrington sound, because, you know, I loved everything that was done on, you know, the Hall of Fame, Dancing in the Key of Life. Let me see. There were some others. The Stone Jam on Feel My Love. The sounds. I just really love that sound, and I can't say enough about it. I'm sure everybody like knows. You know, they really bring out the bass, and as I said, it's I just love that instrument. And actually, I was going to ask you, do you enjoy playing the bass guitar or a regular guitar? Which one do you prefer to play?
I started out playing lead guitar. That's where I started, and that was that's before I even touched the bass. When I first got on the bass, it was very basic to me. And what I liked about the guitar, because I feel like I had more dynamics. I could play chords, I could play melodies. But then I actually met a gentleman in New York. His name was Billy Blackshear. That was his name. And Billy was a bass player. He was a self-taught bass player. And that guy pretty much changed everything for me. At the time, I think I was about 15, 16 years old. This is before I signed with Cherry. And I remember going to this, I was playing with a group that was kind of a pop rock group at the time. It wasn't a funk group. And this gentleman who was the leader of the group, it was pretty much a white band, and they hired me as a guitar player, and we were looking for a bass player. And, you know, we were amateurs, and what we were doing kind of like the college circuit. And so this guy, the guy that started the group, he had some money. And so he had some really good equipment, and he had some good connections. And like I said, you know, we played on did a college scene back in those days. It was like 74, 73, 74, 75. But I remember going out to this gentleman, and we had an ad out, and he answered our ad, and he was a bass player. And I remember going to his house, and this was a brother. He was an African-American guy. And he was built like a gorilla. He was strong. He was a strong guy. And it was funny because when we were talking, he brought us upstairs into his room. He had a two-story home, and he brought us into his music room. And he had these albums all over the walls. They were actually nailed up to the walls, all these different albums. And he had albums on the floor. You know, back in the day, we used to have crates. We used to have these crates full of wooden crates where we keep all of our albums in, either milk crates or these wooden crates. And I thought it was ironic how he had all these albums onto the wall. And so we wanted to find out, you know, how well he played. So he had his bass on the stand, and he had his bass amp, and then all these albums on the wall. And the interesting part of it was the albums on the wall were a variety of a lot of different things. I mean, everything from rock to R&B to funk. It was all a variety of different things. So we knew that he listened to a lot of music. But the wildest thing that he said to us, he said, because we asked him to say, hey, you know, we'd like to listen to you, you know, play something. And, you know, he looked at us and he picked up his bass. And he looked at us and said, go ahead and go pick a song or pick anything, you know, on the wall. And his wall was covered. All four walls were covered with nothing but albums. And he asked us to pick a song. And we're looking around. We're like, you got to be kidding us. This is like a museum of all these albums. You talking about pick a song? So obviously the guy that I was with, the white dude, he went ahead and grabbed a song. I think it was out of it was a rock group. I don't know if it was like Genesis or something like that, but it was some kind of rock group. And he picked a song from this rock group, which was a very popular song at that time. Oh, you know what? I tell you exactly what it was. It was from the group REO Speedwagon. Have you ever heard of them?
No.
Okay.
No.
REO Speedwagon was a very, very popular, well-known rock group, and very well-known for their guitar players. And so he went and picked the REO Speedwagon, and he said, I want you to go play this song, which was one of their hits. Do you know that when he plugged this bass up, he started playing the song, note for note?
Are you serious?
Like, yeah, and we're sitting here. I mean, he didn't play the rock part, but he played the bass line, but we recognized the song. So then I said, okay. So what I did, I went and picked an album, and I think it was AWB, the Average White Band. And I think the song was called Pick Up the Pieces. And I went to him, and I said, okay, you play that song. Play this song from AWB. And he looked at it, he says, okay. And do you know he started playing that song note for note? I mean, it just blew our minds how talented and how gifted. And he was self-taught. Do you know that he played so much that he learned how to play almost every single song on the albums? That's why he put them on the wall. When they were posted on the wall, that means he knew the album. I've never seen anything like it. Never seen anything like it. I mean, the guy was just...
What did you take away from that? Did you try and mirror how he learned how to play every different type of genre of music?
He actually became my teacher. Now, I was already listening to different genres of music, but I didn't learn how to try to play all the different genres of music. I used to listen to it, but he became he influenced me. And then what he said, I would love to learn how to play guitar. So he asked me, if you teach me guitar, I'll teach you bass. And that's how I got started.
Well,
that's how I
wonderful.
Got started.
Wonderful.
I started teaching him guitar, and he started teaching me bass. And that's where it all got started. So anyway, let's get back to our party. And we're going to switch it up a little bit and play another very popular song from the Commodores called Brick House. You remember Brick House from the Commodores? I know you heard that.
Oh, yeah.
Miss Donna B, this was a very, very popular song when this came out. And this song is actually, do you know what the song is about?
No,
listen
I don't.
Listen to us a little
I,
bit. Okay, listen to the song. We'll tell you, and listen to the song. We'll tell you what the song is all about. This is Brick House by the Commodores.
How? She's nice to my cat. Just letting it all hang out. How she's our friend. I like ladies back, that's a fact. Ain't holding nothing back. Ow, she's a brick house. Well, put together, everybody knows this is how the story goes. She knows she's got everything that a woman needs to get a man. Yeah, yeah. How can she lose what she used? 36, 24, 36. What a winning hand, cause she's a brick house. She's nice to my cat, I'm just letting it all hang out. And she's a brick house. I don't like ladies back, that's a fact. Ain't holding nothing back. Oh, she's a brick house. Yeah, she's the one, the only one, built like an Amazon. Way. Make a old man wish for younger days, yeah, yeah. She knows she's built and knows how to please. Showed up and knock a strong man to his knees. Cause she's a brick house. Yeah, she's mighty, mighty. Just letting it all hang out. Down now.
figured out, Miss Donna B?
Let me tell you something. Ladies, if you are like 36, 24, 36, let me tell you, flaunt it. Just flaunt it out there. I'm still trying to get there, but let me tell you, if you are 36, 24, 36, let me tell you, ladies, flaunt it, okay?
Yeah, Brick House is about, Brick House is about a woman's body. It's about her physical features, and that's what Brick House was all about. And I tell you, man, when that song came out and they released it, that thing took off. It was a huge hit. I actually had a chance to, we actually had a chance to meet the Commodores. We opened up for the Commodores, and it was so funny. The day that we met them, we were playing in a park called Highland Park. It was an outdoors festival, and they ended up coming on. We were on a tour, and they showed up, and their equipment truck didn't show up, so they didn't have any equipment. So they ended up using our equipment. We ended up giving them our equipment, and that was like, it was really an honor that we had the Commodores literally playing on our equipment. And that's how things were, because there's like a fellowship with artists, and that's one of the things I love about musicians. Because and I'm sure that you musicians that are listening, or people who are in the music industry, whether you're a DJ, whether you're an artist, there is a certain fellowship that we all share. And no matter what we go through in our lives, whether it's some racism or whether illnesses, whatever is going on in political things, whatever is going on in the world, musicians have this tendency of honoring each other. You know, we have the tendency of sharing this likeness, and because we know that we're here to entertain, and we're here, and if it wasn't for music, we wouldn't be able to see the colors that we see. I look at music. Music is very therapeutic for a lot of people. It's therapeutic for, you know, for people around the world. And I love the, you know, when I was growing up, I used to hang out in certain parts of New York where people were, there was a lot of artists, not just musicians, but they were artists. And we like to go to a lot of art festivals where people were painters and sculptors and musicians. And it's just something about that whole community when you're around a bunch of artists and people are kind of laid back and just, you know, they just see the world. They see the world differently. You know, they don't get caught up in all the stress and all the things that we're surrounded by. So there's a really great fellowship with musicianships all around the world. No matter where you go, when you meet a musician, you're meeting an actual artist, and it's really a nice feeling. And I love, it's very appreciated, you know, running into people who are into the music and things like that. That's why shows like The Voice has been so successful. You know, what, 13 years, 12
yeah,
or 13
win,
years the show's been on?
Awards, yeah. They
yeah.
tend to win a lot of awards. There's a lot of talent that comes onto that show, I would say. A lot of great talent. I'm not sure if I see too many of those people once they kind of come off the show. Maybe they do a lot of work or behind the scenes type work, you know, in the studio type work possibly. Because all of those people that go on to that show have a really great chance of winning because, as you said, they're all talented.
Yeah, great talent. But you know something, I got to give a lot of credit to, you know, believe it or not, I got to give it a lot of credit to, you know, people like Dick Clark. You know, Dick Clark really kind of opened up a lot of things, you know, with the American Bandstand. And, you know, I'm only going back to, you know, how we grew up. And Dick Clark was, you know, he opened up a lot of doors for a lot of artists, and that's one of the things that I love about these shows, that we still have an opportunity to have these shows that introduce us to talented people around the world. And also got to give a lot of great credit to people, the founder of Soul Train, Mr. Don Cornelius. Cornelius, you know, he... you know, he passed away. He passed away back in, matter of fact, and it's been almost been a few years now. I think about back in 2012. And yeah, it was about February of 2012. And he was another genius. He was another genius that opened the door to a lot of artists. And what I liked about him, he, you know, being out of Chicago, he literally was open to a lot of different genres as well. You know, even though it was soul music, but soul music incorporated a lot of different things. He had some pop artists on the show. You know, he's had a combination. And if it wasn't for his show, we wouldn't have had people like the girl that danced on there. What I'm trying to think of her name. I see her face now. She's a Latino artist, and she used to be a dancer on a Soul Train show. She's out of the Bronx, New York. J-Lo. That's what I'm trying to think of. So it shows like that actually launched her career, you know, being that she was a dancer.
Actually, Shamar Moore, I saw him dancing on Soul Train. And way back then, I don't know how old he was. He had to be like about 20 or something. Who knows? But he had his shirt off back then, way back then, you know. So
he was also a presenter. You know, he also worked on a Soul Train show.
Oh, he did? Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's
Shamar Moore worked on the show. We had Dorian Gregory, he hosted the show sometimes. And then we had another gentleman by the name of Maestro Clark. And these were people that actually hosted the show. So, like I said, it's people like Don Cornelius and people like Dick Clark, the American Bandstand. They opened up a lot of opportunities for a lot of our musicians. And we are so, you know, we're very grateful for that.
Yeah,
very, very grateful
I think
for that.
It was really nice, though, that you guys lent your equipment, because I know how people really feel about their equipment, about their instruments and so forth. You know, I'm just wondering, would you have like lent your guitar? Because I know my cello and stuff is really personal to me. I really wouldn't have wanted to share my, well, you know, Commodores. I mean, who wouldn't give their instrument to the Commodores? But in general, you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't have wanted anybody to kind of like play my cello, for heaven's sakes. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that is interesting that you said that, because yes, we are very strict about, I was not open about giving my instruments out to people, you know,
what
because we never
I'm
see
saying.
How people are going to take care of it. But see, the Commodores, you know, they were such an item, and they were so popular at the time. It was an honor. It was really an honor, because when we found out that their equipment wasn't there, they were getting ready to cancel. They were going to cancel.
Wow. Yeah.
And we're like, no, we got you. We got you. You can use our, we're already set up, you know. So it took them some time, because everybody has their own way of setting up, especially like drummers. And no matter what, people think that you just take an instrument and you just plug it in to an amplifier and think that's it. That's not how it works. We are so specific on our instruments that we have to have a certain strap. It's got to be a certain way. We have to have a certain balance. Believe it or not, the guitars that I played, even though I played a lot of them, but I had to have a certain balance and a certain feel. I had to have certain strings. And you would understand that.
It's custom made for you. And
exactly.
That's why it's very personal. That's why musicians don't really like to have anybody kind of like touch their stuff, their equipment or their, you know, their personal instruments. But if you don't really understand, I tell you what you all will understand is, you know, think about your car that you drive, right? You drive your car a certain way. You don't really want to share it with anybody. You want to drive your car yourself. You know what I'm saying? If that makes it a little bit easier to understand the feeling behind it. You know what I'm saying, Alfred?
Oh, I'd be glad. I wish somebody to take my car and drive it away.
You know what? My 1997 Camry, okay? You know, my antique piece. I love that car. I loved that car.
I'm never going to hear the end of that.
I didn't like, you know, anybody driving that car, as old as it is. So, you know, it's just a personal thing. Just think about your car. You don't really like people, because everybody drives differently. You know, some people have a heavy foot, some people, you know, have a light foot, you know, that type of thing. So it's like that when it comes to your instrument, you know.
Right.
Instrument thing.
That's true.
But yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right about that. All right, now, you know what? We are halfway done with the show. So, you know what? I want to get this in before we leave. Can we have, I'm begging you now, Miss Donna B, I got to have the words of inspiration. That is something I look so much for, I look forward to every single week. And it's something that I love to hear. And it is very inspiring. So, can we get your words of inspiration now? That'll be awesome.
Oh, you want to hear that right now? Okay.
Yes, definitely.
You know what, before we do that, you know what, we would like to just wish, you know, you all a happy Thanksgiving from the Max Mobile Apps team to all, to you guys. We thank you so much for listening, and we really hope that you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and may your home be filled with like laughter and happiness and peace, whether you're spending it with a whole bunch of people or if it's just a few of you, or whether you're just going to relax at home by yourself. We hope that it's a peaceful time for you from the Max Mobile Apps team.
Yeah, I'm glad you did that. You kind of beat me to it. I was going to do that towards the end, but yes, she is so right. We do wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. That was very, very thoughtful of you, Miss Donna B. And yeah, this is the time for, you know, time for sharing with your family and your friends. And yeah, so that's we definitely wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving from the family of here at Max Mobile App. So thank you so much for that. And so now let's go ahead and get that word, the words of inspiration here. It makes my day. I love it. What do you have for today?
Well, today let's talk about the meaning of your life. In other words, like the purpose of your life. Now, do you look at the glass being half empty or half full? It's really like a state of mind, and it's used to refer to like an attitude. So if you're like a pessimistic type person, you would probably say that the glass is half empty, as opposed to the optimist who would say that the glass is half full. So as you go through life, you may start to think about the meaning of your life or your purpose in life. And as we get older, it becomes more and more apparent to us that we need to be able to figure this thing out. And this is because we want to feel as if we were of service to someone or to like a group of people. We really don't want to feel like we made absolutely no kind of impact while we were here on this earth, but that we brought, you know, at least some kind of joy and happiness to some people, if not to masses of people. Now, you know, I always say, like, whatever your age is, you're never too old to figure out the meaning or purpose of your life, if you haven't done so already. If you're lucky enough to be like young, and you know, you had parents that made it their point and duty to help you as a child find your gift, or if you were just like a naturally focused child at a young age to know what you were supposed to be doing with your life, then I would say you're just really blessed. So continue to do what you do best and continue to bring your gift to the rest of the world so that we can all enjoy what your gift is. Just continue to do what you do. But for many of us who are still wandering through life and touching on this and touching on that and wondering what our gifts are and wondering what we're supposed to be doing with our lives, well, this is for you. We have to try and figure out what we are here for on this earth. And so here are just a couple of points for you to think about as far as finding the meaning of your life. For example, what are your desires and what is important to you? Now, this world is made up of a lot of controlling people who are out there telling you what you should and should not be doing with your life. However, if there's like a burning desire in you to do something that is really important to you, you should at least address it and take a look at it and see if there's something that you can do with it The one thing that you want in your life is to be happy, and you don't want to regret anything. So follow your desires, and that will definitely help you in finding your purpose. And now sometimes you miss out on the purpose of your life because you're afraid of failing. And, you know, when we fail, it's not a great feeling at all. We're afraid of looking like a complete idiot if we fail at something. Like, you know, like say if we fail, you know, an exam, an important exam. You know, we've all done that at school, you know, where we failed something, you know. And so because of that fear of failing, we don't try to pursue our dreams. And sometimes we end up doing absolutely nothing. And then the sad part about that is that we push away whatever it is that we really care about. So if you're not living the life you really want and you want to find your purpose, first, ask God to help you take the right direction in your life and show you the path that you're supposed to go down. And also ask him to give you the strength to help you take that leap of faith and help you step into, you know, that space that may be uncomfortable, that you're uncomfortable with, because when you're uncomfortable, you don't feel in control. And it's by no means an easy task to do, but it will help you grow into that stronger person and help you to be who you're supposed to be. So let's now take a listen to The Meaning of Your Life by Fearless Soul. Let's take a listen to that. Thank you. Thank you very much, Kevin.
It seems these days less and less people take responsibility for their life. It seems less and less people master their emotions. They don't run their life. They allow life to run them. Their problems are blamed on everyone and everything, but they never take responsibility for their own life. Most importantly, they never take responsibility for how they feel. Does life happen to you, or does life happen for you? The answer you give that question will shape your life. Do you believe everything happens for a reason that benefits you in some way? Or do you believe life is hard and you are at the mercy of a little thing called luck? What if every painful experience in your life was actually sent to benefit you? To make you stronger. To make you wiser. To make you better. What if the challenge you are facing was sent to make you stronger? What if the difficult person was actually sent to teach you something? Compassion. Patience. A reminder of how not to treat people. What if the loss you experienced was sent to make you appreciate life more? The way we feel about everything in our life is our life. The truth is, every human being decides how they are going to live their life. Because we all decide what meaning we give to each and every moment in our life. We do not decide what shows up, but we do decide how we show up. We do not decide the circumstances that arise each day, but we absolutely decide how we are going to react to each circumstance. There's no such thing as actual reality. There's only our perception of reality. Think about that. There is no such thing as reality. There is only your version of it. If you think about anything or any event, your version of it or your opinion of it will be completely different to many other people. Two people could attend the same event, see the same things, speak to the same people, and leave with absolutely opposite thoughts about that event. If they liked the people they spoke to, if they enjoyed the event, how could this be? It was the same event. It's an interpretation. The meaning both people gave the event is different. That meaning is based on a life of conditioning, a life of absorbing others' opinions and their forming our own. But the point is, we decide that meaning. Bob Marley said, some people dance in the rain, others just get wet. The same is true for everything in life. Some people drudge through life. They get by. Others live life. They make the most of it. They appreciate the little things, which makes a huge difference in their life. But don't worry about what other people do. What do you do? Do you appreciate all the good in your life? Do you look for the good each day? Do you wake up expecting great things to come every day? Do you feel compassion when someone is acting in a way that is not to your standards? Do you believe every tough moment in your life was sent to make you stronger and in some way improve your life?
Every meaning you give to everything in your life makes your life. Choose empowering meanings, because the better your meanings, the better your life. The stronger your meanings, the stronger your life.
It's our decisions, not our conditions, that control our lives and our destiny.
Oh, that was another good one. That was another good one. Oh, I like that. Meaning of life.
Yes.
Well, you know what? We are coming to the end of our show, but you know what? We're going to throw in one more last track in there. And Kevin, let's go ahead and play The Cool and the Gang. Since we were playing funky music all day, we're going to play funky stuff, and that's going to be our last track for the day. And then we're going to come back, and we're going to go ahead and end our show today. Let's go ahead and play funky stuff from Cool and the Gang.
Thank you.
we want to thank everybody for listening to our show today as we enter to the holiday of next week of Thanksgiving. And we want everybody, regardless of whatever is going on in the world and wherever you are, we want everybody to be able to share your love and share your grace and your blessings with everyone in your family, all of your friends, and just take the time out. Just take the time out and be thankful that we are here every day and that we're able to live and try to live the best that we can. And so before we end, Miss Donna B, do you have any shout outs for today?
I'd just like to give a shout out actually to Tampa Bay Lightning hockey team. You know, they're on a roll and they're 15-2-2. So I'd like to give a shout out to them because they're doing really, really great right now. They're on a roll.
Okay, that was a little different. And I'd like to give a shout out to Miss Alpha Anderson and her husband Tinker, and shout outs to Tanya, Heather, and Miss LaShawn, as well as Lily. And special love to my mother Aisha. Aisha, I hope you're feeling better, and we love you so much. And I want everybody to remember what we call the DAZ. And for any new listeners out here, this is how I end the show every week. Remember the DAZ that represents your life. When you die, there will be two dates on your tombstone, the date that you are born and the date of your death. Those two dates are actually separated by a short dash in the middle. Now, that dash actually represents your life, and it shows that life is really short. So, until next week, I want everyone listening to live your life one day at a time as if it's your last. And remember these things. Remember, cherish yesterday, live today, and dream tomorrow. I'm your host, Alfred Fields, and my lovely co-host, Miss Donna B. Please give someone a hug today. God will smile on you. And until next week, we love you all, and we're going to tell you to have a peace out and have a happy, happy, happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving.
On behalf of the team, we'll see you next time on the network. Take care now. Enjoy your day. Bye-bye.